blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 81, stanzas 1 through 4. How great the goodness kept in store for those who fear thee and adore in meek humility. And what follows in the first, in the four stanzas of Psalter 81.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this evening will be from the book of Psalms, and there in chapter 61. Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Nigana, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever, and O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven, and thou before whom we have been in this day already, and before whom we appear in this evening, we beseech thee that thou wouldest look down from heaven, thy dwelling place. For thou art the witness of all that has taken place also in this afternoon hour, when we were together under a word and sacrament, and when a decision has been made by each one of the confessing members, and thou who knowest the heart also knowest what lives therein in this evening hour. It could be that there are those who are unconcerned. O Lord, how is it possible? And yet we read in thy word that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. When we are coming forth from our mother's womb in this world, and then in that deadness, we are not able to deliver ourselves from. No, not even by coming and going to the house of God our whole life long. Lord, it is thy own work. Oh, that thou may remember us if in such a way we have come in this day, and also perhaps even in this evening in a good way, coming up to thy house again or listening in our home. But thou knowest that we have a religion, and that is before men, which does not say that we have a religion before God. O Lord, we need to be awakened by thy most holy spirit. Oh, it can be that we sit in judgment of others, and we do not judge ourselves. We look always upon our neighbor. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for an arrow from an heavenly bow, that may enter into the hearts of everyone who is yet unconcerned, who lives in this world, going to and from thy house continually, with a heart that is as hard as the nether millstone, that has no life in it. O Lord, we beseech thee, who art life itself, and who art the giver of life, who did speak and it was in the beginning of this world, who did create us as man upon it, who did breathe into our nostrils the breath of life. Oh, could it please thee to give also that same breathing of thy Holy Spirit, to give us spiritual life from the dead, that we may become awakened to our spiritual death state by nature, and that we might not be able to live any longer the same in the city of Sodom as we have done before, or that we might have to flee for our life's sake. O bind it, Lord, upon our hearts, we beseech thee, as thou alone art able to do. And we are by nature with hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so it is possible that we even take to ourselves what does not belong to ourselves. Or that thou mayst send that spirit of correction then into our souls, and that we may become honest with ourselves. But Lord, thou knowest also that amongst us are indeed those who do sit and do see that others are delivered. O Lord, and they say, I, Lord, I am still waiting. O Lord, they are as that impotent man at that pool of Bethesda, who was aware of his wretchedness, who didn't know for himself his misery, but was not able to take one step to deliver himself, who did see that pool and that way of deliverance sitting right before him, but was unable even to take one step. O Lord, we beseech thee for such. For thou sayest, fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God, and he will hear. And we do not know thy time. O Lord, we beseech thee for strength to wait, and for strength to hold on, for all such in the midst of us who desire to walk in that way, who do depart indeed from the ways of death here below, but are not able to give themselves light in all their darkness. O Lord, if they could give it to themselves, then it would not be thy light. O, that thou mayst shine it from heaven, who art thyself the light, and thou who hast come to deliver men from the death of darkness. O, that thou mayst shine unto them in thy mercy in this evening, or could it be soon in the future? Lord, there are those that do not know it anymore. There are those who do walk with riddles in their heart, for whom everything is turned upside down. Or we can read it of the Emmaus travelers also, we thought, but we were wrong. O Lord, they were not wrong, but they needed to be led. Oh, they needed to be led into the mysteries of salvation. They needed that thou wouldest come and reveal thyself unto them, and that thou wouldest speak unto them. O Lord, thou didst make their hearts to burn, and thou didst make them also to see in thy time. Oh, that was a blessed moment. Look upon those that are such in this evening hour. Oh, they are still coming up in this evening, even though their heart is discouraged. And they are still listening and at home, even though they do not know how to solve their own case. Oh, we beseech thee for them, Lord, that thou thyself may deliver in thy own time and in thy own way. Oh, how shall they magnify thy blessed and glorious name when thou wilt appear for them in all their distresses. Look upon those who are meek and who may eat and who may be satisfied. O Lord, Thou art good, and Thy children will acknowledge it. O that Thou may give them also to watch, because the devil is right around the corner. Oh, he is just at the edge of the garden. And Lord, Thy people did sleep. Thy disciples did sleep. Oh Lord, that Thou would watch over Thy children, that they may be kept now, and that Thou mayest supply for them in the midst of all the warfare of this life. And do give us to be hidden continually in that rock, in that hiding place. Do look upon us in this evening, Lord, a few moments again, and that we may have together. It is always so short. Lord, Thou knowest all the children also that are listening. Maybe for them it is too long. Oh, Thou can make it short. Thou can give them an ear to hear also when they are young, and that Thou can give them in their heart to say, go on. Lord, remember us, then help us in the bringing and in the hearing of Thy word. Take away all that hinders. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1-4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. 1-4 of 159. beloved congregation, what was the purpose of the creation of man? By Isaiah, the Lord says, I have created him for my glory, for my glory. Did the fall interrupt that purpose of God? To create him, to create man for his own glory? It did not. It contributed to the glory of God. Why? Because there is no greater glory than the gratitude for redemption of the soul of man can bring unto God. And it is the unworthiness that is experienced in the heart of that church and that is raising those praises to their height, to their pinnacle. Paul says that the abundance of grace through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. The abundance of grace, the thanksgiving of many, the glory of God. So what part do we have now? Because we are all created by him. What part do we have now in bringing back unto the Lord that glory that he has created us for? I've created him for my glory. Do you ever feel the impossibility of this? Then there is just a small beginning of it in the life of that delivered church that we want to consider in this evening hour. From the words of our text, Psalm 61, and there of the fifth verse, Psalm 61, verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows, and thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. So far the words of our text, faith's obliging acknowledgement, first of a gracious heritage, and second of heard vows. Faith's obliging acknowledgement, first the acknowledgement of a gracious heritage, and the acknowledgement of heard vows. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. And actually there we read vows, but it is including actually the prayer, the whole prayer of David that includes vows that David has made when he prayed. So we hope to hear more of that a little later, but God has heard the prayers, the cries of David. You say, how did David know that? That God had heard his vows, his prayers. Well, it could be that the news of the slaughter of the rebels has already come to the ears of David. But it also could be that it is premonition, that David may know it by faith. That is, that the Lord shows it to him. We know that David has mourned for his son Absalom. But now the cause of God raises David and raises the entire church above their own causes. That is, their own desires and aspirations and that have to do with this carnal life. David, of course, would have spared his son. But he did not choose his son above the Lord. No, Christ says, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so that was also with David, although he had to lose and weep and mourn for a son whom he knew had gone into an eternal perdition. Who can imagine what that grief of David was to know that the smoke of his torment that is going up forever and forever. Oh, the Lord is bringing David. The Lord brings always his own work through the fire. The Lord is trying it as silver is tried. And all hypocrisy that is going to come to light by the light of God. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou, O God. What does David say? He says, the victory that was not because of Hushai. The victory was not because of the priests and the help that he got from the priests. The victory was not because of the soldiers that have fought so valiantly for David. The victory was not because of any ingenuity of his own, what he has done in order as to gain that victory. Thou, O God, hast heard my vows, my prayers and my supplications. He says that is now the first cause, and the rest, that is all instruments that the Lord is directing for to bring the purpose that he has in his own mind to fruition. So to acknowledge that it is the Lord. That is the acknowledgement of the true church. That is the acknowledgement of those who cry to him when they have a heart that is overwhelmed. They cannot trust a man anymore. They cannot trust any friend. That have no strength of their own anymore. And that are crying from the depth of the heart. Do you see why it is so necessary? Do you see why it is so profitable that the Lord is cutting us off? Because the Lord has to teach us where it comes from. And he is going to make his whole church to acknowledge that the victory that was all from the Lord. Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. That's what is a heritage. That is the possession, the inheritance. Maybe you know what that is, boys and girls. David speaks about an inheritance. What does David say? He says the inheritance that there is an inheritance that belongs to those, he says, that fear thy name. Do you believe that? Who gets an inheritance? You say that is always the children. That is, the inheritance is reserved for those children. But David doesn't say that. David, he does not say that there is an inheritance that belongs to the children. No, David describes who that the children are. That is, by the fruits. That he says it belongs to those who fear thy name. Ah, they are the children. Right, children? Because a child fears the name of father and mother, right? Then you will hear father and mother. You will listen to father and mother. You will obey father and mother. And thus he is describing there the children. Now we can partake of the Lord's Supper, but that doesn't make us children. How do we know when someone is a child? The Lord says we will know them by their fruits. And thus the fruits are the fruits of our life. And that is coming out in our life, whether that we are a child or not, because we fear that name of the Lord, then it becomes evident. And then we cannot just walk and do as we wish to do. And we cannot just trample upon the law of the Lord, but that law has a place, the love of our heart. And thus he speaks about the inheritance. So to the children belong this inheritance. That is, actually, it all belongs, of course, to God. And God is reserving that inheritance for his own children. So the inheritance is not what we earn. No, the inheritance is that which is given. It's a gift. But it indeed is a special gift, because fathers and mothers, they give gifts to their children. Indeed, but what is now it with the inheritance? You say that is a special gift. What is that based upon? That is based upon the will of the parents. That is based upon a relationship that is a legal thing, that is a legal relationship. It's something that is written in the will, thus that will go sometimes when there is a question about it, it will go to a judge. And the judge will decide about that will and what now goes to those who are supposed to have that inheritance. What was the figure of that inheritance for the children of Israel? What was the picture of the inheritance for the children of Israel? You say that was the land of Canaan. Because we read that the Lord says that Moses had to divide that land unto the children of Israel by lot for an inheritance. That was, congregation, a legal matter. So how was that a legal matter? Because the children of Israel had to fight for it. And when they fought for it, then they gained it. Thus they got it by fighting. It was not a legal matter. That is not so. Because we read the Lord gave them that land. The Lord is the one who gave them the victory over those enemies. You say, how is that legal? It belonged to those Canaanites. No. We read that the Lord judged them. That means the Lord brought those children, those Canaanites, all into judgment. And he condemned them because they did not serve him. They served the idols. And the Lord says, that is actually my land, and I will give it to whom I will. And you, I will cast you out of mine inheritance. And then the Lord gave it to the children of Israel for an inheritance. He was the rightful owner, and he was allowed to give that inheritance, being the rightful owner, to whomsoever that he would. Thus, David says that there is an inheritance that belongs to those who fear thy name. Not because they have earned it, but he says because it is a legal gift that is from the Lord. But now David does not just say there is such an inheritance, but David says also, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. David wonders at that. He marvels at that. That he was given from the Lord the inheritance of them that fear thy name. David knows that he was not worthy of this inheritance of those that fear his name. David can look back in his life and the devil can say to him, and rightly so, do you fear his name? Look what you have done. It always comes back, young people. Our sin is always coming back to us. Even if the Lord forgives our sin, then we often do not forgive ourselves. And then we are ashamed our whole life long what we have done. Be careful. Be careful what you do in your life. Indeed, as he fled, then David said to Zadok, carry back the ark of the Lord. Because he says that if the Lord be delighted to do so, he will bring me back and he will show me the ark and he will show me the habitation of that ark again. If he is pleased, if it delight him to do so. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, here am I. Let him do unto me what seemeth good in his sight. That is, congregation, the place that the cries of David came from. When he was laying there in Mahanaim, and when all the enemies are round about him, and he was just in that cause, and yet he was not altogether just, and he knew it. And thus he cannot blame all those enemies. He says, I am worse than you are, even though you are wrong, and even though I am right. And so David, when he is laying there in Mahanaim, he is crying unto the Lord out of an agreement with the way of the Lord. Whatever way the Lord brings it in my life, I do not deserve the least blessing that the Lord would bestow upon me. Know that place? Because that is not a strange place. To that true church of God under the dealings of the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord has to break us down. And that is a good thing. And when the Lord brings us low, and he brings us even in this place of David, because you know, the Lord makes his people like clay. Then he can do just with them as he wants. And then there is no rebellion anymore. Then they just go. Then it is so easy. But then it is not only so easy, it is also so good. Whatever way that the Lord deals with me in my life. And now David is wondering at the Lord's doing. Because the Lord is again going indeed to show him both it, that is both the ark, and that habitation of the ark. Because the Lord is going to return David to that land of Israel. We know that there were men who tried to usurp that kingdom. That kingdom was given to David. Not to others, not to Absalom. And the Lord has prevented that the usurpers would take that kingdom out of David's hand. Now the afflictions that the Lord is giving in the life of his church, they do not deprive them of the inheritance of the Lord. All their afflictions, all their trials, all their tribulations, they are not depriving them from that portion that the Lord has laid away for them. No, they're doing just the opposite. It is securing it to them, all of their afflictions, because now, David, he says, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Oh, no man, David may see it now. And they have tried on every side to rip it from him, but they could not take it away from him. Even though those people tremble sometimes with many fears because Satan has so many that join him, the whole world will join the devil. And that whole multitude, even from the church, we would say, because they were the men of Israel, and they have come on the side of evil. They have come on the side of Absalom, on the side of the usurpers. And there were many of them. That is what we read about Ahithophel, that he has said, go and gather them all up. And there will be so many, they will be like the sand of the sea for multitude. And whatever David has gotten, you will take ropes and you will just drag it away. Oh, there are so many. The church has so many that are willing to take up the cause that is against that church of God. But the inheritance is reserved. It is reserved for that people. And they are going to come. Every single one of them are going to come to that day when they are going to say, O Lord, thou. Not me, because it was impossible. They have risen up against me on every side. And I was weak. And I was unable. And I had no wisdom. And I had no strength. And I had no right in myself either. But thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Elsewhere, David says, thou hast maintained my lot. That is a wonder to him, because the church cannot maintain it. They may receive it from the Lord, but they also cannot maintain it. They cannot keep it, because they are sinning it away every time again. And now if the Lord would take away grace, they're lost. They're lost with everything that they have received in the past. Congregation, every time that the Lord's Supper is administered in our midst, then there is a line. That line that is running through the congregation. That is not a perfect line. We know that. Because the Lord knows the hearts of everyone. But that is now a stark reminder for us every time. That they are not all Israel that are of Israel. That is a reminder every time again that we need more. That we need more than an outward membership in that church of God. Even a membership that gives to us a right from the church's side to attend that holy supper of the Lord. Oh, do you feel that? You have to feel that. I know you feel that. You cannot but feel that. And when you're sitting in the house of God, unless you are harder than the bench, then you say, yeah, what now do I need? Maybe you have a little impression. When you are sitting in the house of God. And now we ask you, what are you doing with that? You have a little impression. What are you doing with the impression? The impression can be just natural, but it is an impression nonetheless. And then you may make use of that impression. At the very, very least, and you may say, what is it that makes me heavenly minded, that draws my thoughts away from the world? What is it? When does that happen? What am I doing at the time that I may feel a little jealousy? Feel a little jealousy sometimes for those who may have a portion that you miss. You say, maybe not even knowing what that portion is, but that they have something that is more than I have. Oh, then we must watch ourselves. What are the things that are drawing our heart to the world? What are the things that draw our heart away from the world, that make us feel just a little bit tender maybe? Oh, and then, oh, seek to hold on, even to the littlest impression that you may receive in your soul. How many of us who must remain in our seat are ever jealous of the true church? How many? For that inheritance. Maybe you say, what is that inheritance? What is it actually? Do you know what David says in Psalm 16? He says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord doesn't say heaven. No, the Lord. That's what we think of that inheritance. What do you want as an inheritance? When your father, your mother would pass away, you say, oh, then maybe they have lots of money. Then I get a great inheritance. Or I get a house or a car or something. Oh, do we ever look for an inheritance that the Lord is giving unto his people? The Lord is my inheritance. To have him. What do we read? Oh, to know him and to know his son. Oh, to have communion with him. That is life. That is life eternal. Say, that is more than a man can ever have in this whole world. If we come to the table and we have never in our heart had a desire for the Lord as our inheritance, then we need to repent. We need to repent of our lack of desire. And we need to repent also for taking what does not belong to us. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee, to whom my thoughts aspire? And what is there on earth not that I can yet desire? Oh, that is now what is living in the heart of the church. It is thee. It is thee. Oh Lord, the missing of God. When does that begin? That does not begin at the end. That begins at the beginning. The beginning of that new life. That is one of the first things that is experienced in regeneration, that is lying at the heart of it. The missing of God. That is in the beginning, and that is also the end. You say, that is now everything. In the creation, we are given a heritage. Satan tempted us with another heritage, and we chose it. Still, when the Lord lays before us this heritage, in which he says that he will give unto us for the seeking, in the redemption, the Lord is increasing the heritage that he is giving to his people over all the heritage which they would have received had they obeyed that original covenant of works. It is for his glory that fall is not going to stand in the way of the Lord receiving all his glory. I have created him for my glory, and he will receive his glory. Will he also receive his glory from us? From us. That is, in a personal way, the Lord is going to get it. He is going to get it for a redemption of his people. He is also going to get it in the punishment of everyone that had no desire for him. Oh, the Lord, give to us a true desire that we may give him that glory, that may burn in our heart, that we want to magnify and to glorify him. Let us sing a moment. 290:4-5. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see the grace thou showest to thy saints. That grace reveal to me. 4 and 5 of 290. Hast heard my vows, and thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. You say, how can that be? Did David live more than one generation? Through many generations? No. We have heard before, David says, that I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. That he says, as long as I live. But now, we read something that is not possible to apply to David anymore. This is something that goes beyond the life of David. David's kingdom will not yet come to an end. That is true. Because the Lord is bringing him back. But there is more than that. Because it is not David's kingdom. David's kingdom is the Lord's kingdom. That is God's kingdom. Thus David makes a prophecy here. David makes a prophecy and that of the extension of that kingdom until the time of the coming of Christ, that he will come as the king of his church, and that is going to be many generations later. That will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. There are so many things that can come against the kingdom of God here below, that is against the true church here below, to make them tremble, especially in times when they are in their feelings at the ends of the earth. But if the Lord gives them to believe a little, that is just a little, then they are sometimes looking far, far beyond all their own circumstances. They are looking far beyond all their troubles. And that is now what David may do here. David was only a type. And his kingdom was preserved by the Lord. How much more shall Christ's kingdom be preserved? And that to many generations, indeed, to a world without end. Ah, so you see the comfort. You see the prophet. That it is for David, when he may be afflicted by the Lord, that the Lord is establishing David. He establishes him in that foundation of his own kingdom, that it is the Lord's kingdom. He shall abide before God forever. That is saying the same now as before. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. But then he says, oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. You say, that is strange. Because David is, the Lord establishes David. He gives to him faith. He gives to him strength that he may believe that wonder and that promise of the Lord. And now you say David is praying to the Lord that the Lord will preserve him. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. How is that? Through faith. That does not militate against prayer. True faith does not slacken prayer. No, true faith quickens prayer. So how is that, children? It is so easy. Because when your father and mother promise you something, then what? Well, if you really believe it, then you are asking, right? If you don't believe it, and you are not asking. And now that is the same with David. And the Lord says, it shall be. And now David is asking the Lord, oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. What does he need? He needs mercy. How can that church be preserved now? How can that kingdom go on? How can you go on and be preserved, people of the Lord, without mercy? And without truth, that is faithfulness to the covenant of the Lord. That is the Lord's faithfulness, not yours. Because we don't have it. We ought to have it. But oh, prepare that the Lord would prepare mercy and the Lord would be true to his word. And all of this, these two things, that will preserve me in that kingdom. Mercy and truth. That is the thing that faith is depending on continually. That is, in that daily warfare with sin, then it is mercy. It is mercy and it is the covenant of the Lord. And that people are always going back there. Those two things. Mercy and truth, O Lord, that may preserve me now until the day that I die. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. There you have it. That I may daily perform my vows. Oh, we heard something. That David's prayer contained vows. Your prayer ever contained vows? Did you ever vow to the Lord? Did you ever promise the Lord something? That is the case sometimes when a man's heart is overwhelmed. That is the case sometimes when man's praying is descending into crying, into sighing. Or then he is sometimes also vowing, because that matter becomes urgent. And so, congregation, how is that with us? Did it ever become urgent in our life? Because we all pray, I think. But do we cry? And is there then ever that you say, oh Lord, if thou wilt convert me, then? Yeah. Then what? Then what? What is the content of the vows of the true church of God? There are more people in the Bible we can read who have made vows. As shall we think of a few of them? Jacob vowed at Bethel. The Lord had appeared to him, and he had come in a dream, and he saw that ladder. Ah, he saw the way. The way between God and a sinful Jacob. And he woke in that morning, and then he said something. He says, oh, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Is that not precious? What was this vow? Ah, he vows, congregation, to love the Lord. He vows to serve the Lord. Ah, that is now what is in the bottom. That is in the bottom of the heart of every child of God. Sometimes, like Newton, they say, do I love the Lord or no? And then it is coming out. It's coming out when? It's coming out sometimes in times of affliction. It is coming out sometimes in times of urgency. And sometimes when the Lord is giving a visit and the Lord appears to them. Then it is coming out. What is living there in the bottom of their heart? Oh, it is in the exercises of faith that is coming out. And sometimes then, in such times, that there is a vow that goes out of the lips of that people. Why? Because they know just how it is when faith is not in exercise. then they say it is all sloth. And they would like to bind themselves. Oh, they hate it. They say, if I could only always live like I ought to live and like I want to live when the Lord comes. And then they vow and try to prevent themselves from ever going any other way. Jephthah, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You see the content? The content of the vows of God's church. What does that have to do with sacrifice? Sacrifice. He's going to give the most precious things. He will give them up. He'll give them up for the Lord. That is when the life of the soul, when faith is an exercise, when there is urgency in the heart in the times of trouble, when the love of the Lord that is burning in their heart. They're not precious. Hannah, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then what? I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. They're not precious. Ah, for Hannah, the Lord was everything. The Lord was everything. It was not just to have a child for her sake. No, but whatever she got from God, from the Lord, she wanted to give back unto him. And she vowed to do it if the Lord may give it to her. And now David. See, David vowed. He said, what did he vow? Vow's not written here. No. Oh, yes, it is. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So we see clearly what that vow of David was, to praise. He was going to sing forever, to praise the name of the Lord forever. Ah, if the Lord would now deliver him from all of his enemies. That is a vow that the church knows about. Because that congregation is now what is living deep down inside the heart of every one of those true people of the Lord. That is the love of the Lord. That is now what is in regeneration. And maybe now you cannot come yet. Maybe you cannot come yet. Maybe you do not dare yet come. You say, oh, that way is not yet open to me. But, that love of the Lord, that living in your heart, that living in your heart, that is now what the Lord is giving to his people. I think every single one of that true church of God is going to know this. That is living in their heart. And now that's going to come out. That will come out in the Lord's way, in the Lord's time. The Lord will bring it out. The Lord will bring it out through trial. The Lord will bring it out through providence. The Lord will bring it out through difficulties. The Lord will bring it out in the revelations of himself, the appearances of himself. The goodness of the Lord will bring it out, but the Lord will bring out what is living in the heart of his church. Ah, maybe the Lord brings it out also in your heart this day. You say, for what the Lord has given unto you. congregation Mahanaim was not a bad place for David, was it? No, that was not an easy place to be for his flesh. But it was very good for his soul. And not only for his soul, but it was good for us too. It's good for his church over all the ages of the world, because here the Lord is recording what the Lord is doing and how the Lord is working in the heart and in the life of all of his children. Could you follow it a little? Ah, may you know a little bit of it. Maybe some of you are like Galileo. We read in the Bible, he cared for none of these things. You say, I come up because I know I should come up. That's good. But you care for none of these things. And you sit unmoved. Unmoved under the threatenings of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. And unmoved under all the blessings that the Lord is giving unto his people. Oh, may I reason with you. May I reason with you for just a moment. You know what the Lord says? Come and let us reason together, because we all have a reason. We all have a mind. And we can all think. David here speaks about an inheritance. An inheritance. What is that speaking about? It speaks about something that is more valuable than everything that we have. Oh, could I draw you with this tonight? For just a moment, could I draw you away, up, up, and away from all the love of the world, from all the desires of the things of sin and the things that are of the flesh? Do you not build a house upon the sand? Are you not more than a beast that perisheth? Could Absalom die in his rebellion, in his rejection of everything that the Lord had given to his father David, and in the privileges that he had of being a son of such a man after God's own heart? Oh, could Absalom die in such a way and not come before the judgment seat of God only to be condemned? David's heritage, that was not for him to give out. He got it from the Lord. Everyone, congregation, must get that from the Lord. Say, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not either. And nobody is. Nobody is. The Lord says, it is all of grace. He says, I will give it to you for nothing, just if you ask me. That's all. That's all. Just for the asking. He says, ask, and ye shall receive. But if we will not ask, we will not receive. And we will be judged for our lack of desire for that blessed inheritance. But maybe you say, my heart burns. My heart burns. Does your heart burn? Sometimes. My heart burns. But I don't have freedom to come there. That's okay. That's okay. That's not the first thing. And the Lord will give it in his own time. Does your heart burn? What makes it burn? What makes it burn? Will you consider that? And will you place yourself in those same circumstances over and over again to seek that burning. Oh, to cry to the Lord for a cry. To sigh unto the Lord for a sigh. When we feel ourselves to be so dead, oh, the Lord only can give us life. And He is still giving it. Maybe you say, my fire is gone out. Do you say that? My fire is gone out. My heart used to burn. Oh, I remember when I was young. And then my heart burned. But I'm afraid I've sinned it all away. And it does not burn anymore. And I'm afraid that it was something that was all for myself. Maybe. Perhaps. Because there are people for whom it is like a morning cloud. Comes for a little while and then it disappears. What is now that which can give you hope? That is that lack of burning. And when you say that is all gone, that is a burden to you. That is a burden to you. And if that is now a burden unto you, oh, where now do you go with that burden? Do you know that it is no mark against you if the Lord does not answer you for a long time? That is no mark against you. That is written in the Word of God. But still, every child, every living child, must come to the birth. All that is painful. That is not what we go toward. But the Lord must bring a congregation to the birth. The very struggle that was in the womb of Rebekah, that was evidence of life in her womb. Do you have such evidence of a struggle in your womb? And in all of her questions, she went congregation to the Lord with it, to the Lord with it. We don't have all the answers for you. Oh, seek them with all your riddles, with all your questions, at that footstool, at that throne of grace. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Oh, seek the fear of his name. Seek to know those vows, those hard vows, oh, that you may also receive that heritage. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou thyself come? Who are we that thou givest to us to bring or to hear thy word? And now it comes, Lord, to our ears. And we are all here together, and we all need the same. Without thee, we can do nothing. Oh, give a blessing that may go with us in this week, and that may remain with us. Oh, that the seed of thy word may go down into our hearts prepared by thee. Oh, that it might root there, even though that it does not yet bring forth, but that secretly, underneath the ground, in the darkness, thou wouldst be moving in the bed, in the room, in the bedroom, in the closet, all there in the barn, in the kitchen, where no one is between God and the soul, that the cries may come up, and that it's of such as thou will give that heritage. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us in this week. Remember those who hope to be united in the bond of holy matrimony. Wilt thou give us a good day together also with them and their family? And wilt thou provide for all their needs? Care for the school, the children. Give them also a blessing from this evening hour, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 27. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. 1 through 5 of 27. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.